Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
I actually felt a little badly for Aaron on Wednesday, but not for long. He's fine, apparently, and he's also going to continue to play football and make a ton of money, and he's going to use this as motivation, just like anybody else who suffers a disappointment or a door closed in their faces. So I only felt bad from him as a fellow human who knows what it's like to have your employer or really a person in a relationship move on and decide that you're not what they want anymore. I feel like we can all empathize with that. So more from Aaron coming up later on, but we're going to pivot a little bit here this hour and talk some hoops. We did hear from Ja Morant on Wednesday for the first time, and also the NBA weighs in with what they will deem an 8-game suspension. Now, he's already missed 6 games. That does count as time served, according to the reports. So he only has 2 more games in which he has to sit out. Don't know if he'll be done with his counseling with the facility that he's entered. We don't really have a timetable when it comes to his treatment. But interestingly enough, while Taylor Jenkins told us that Ja's time away from the Grizzlies was for the purposes of healing and a reset, focusing on his mental health, the NBA is saying it was a suspension. They had to go through their full investigation, and they essentially came to the same conclusion in the NBA league offices as the Glendale police did. There's no way to determine if the gun he brandished in that Shotgun Willie's nightclub was his gun. The NBA has no evidence that it was on the team plane, or again, that it was his gun, that it was on the team plane, that he had it on NBA property, meaning they were in Denver to take on the Nuggets, so that he had it at the facility. The conclusion is the same. There's not enough to charge him with, and there's not enough to indicate for sure that he broke NBA rules. But the suspension is about how he's handled himself, the embarrassing position he put not just himself in, but the Grizzlies, the fact that he's playing fast and loose and waving a gun around in the nightclub. It may not be criminal, but it's not the image that the NBA wants to portray. And in the collective bargaining agreement, there are very specific guidelines and rules about guns, but we know that in the past, they've come down hard when it had to do with guns. And it's a lot more about their image. It's a lot more about what they would consider their responsibility in terms of their social justice and setting a tone, not just for their fan base and for their core fans, but recognizing that they have a responsibility and they don't want to portray a particular culture. They did investigate. He will be allowed back with the Grizzlies after two more games, though. Again, I don't know if he'll be done with his own rehab or done with his own counseling. But it's the first time we hear from him. Other NBA storylines, according to one of the Lakers, they're running out of time. The Warriors still can't win on the road, though they gave it a better effort in Los Angeles against the Clippers. And if you are not paying attention to the Sacramento Kings, you are missing out and doing so to your own detriment. So we'll get to the NBA here coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. No matter how much you say to me that no one cares about Aaron Rodgers and that you don't want to hear about him anymore, I'm not doing my job if I don't talk about it. I've already given you fair warning. If you don't want to hear about it, hey, there's music stations. I'm sure there's an all-baseball channel where you can hear about the WBC or spring training. You should know by now, if you listen to this show for any length of time, that I talk about what the people are talking about. And today, this week, this is what peeps are talking about. The very fact that you would take the time to say no one cares is indicative of the fact that you're annoyed that too many people care. It's like Roger saying, "I'm fine," over and over again. You tell me no one cares, and I know it's the exact opposite, and that's what bothers you.
Totally fine. It really is.
Again, phone number 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, After Hours CBS. On our Facebook page, too. I have no idea how many people have signed up for the After Hours Bracket Challenge. I do know that you are inside of 12 hours until you no longer have the option. I will readily admit that I am the leader of the procrastinator people. Those are my people, procrastinator people. I always wait till the last second, not intentionally, sometimes intentionally, but not always intentionally. And I just haven't done it yet. It's been a hectic week. Sleep is come at a major premium, and so I haven't finished mine yet, but I will. In fact I have to, because the family bracket is, I'm the only one who hasn't done it yet, and we've also got the After Hours Bracket Challenge. Producer Jay and I do our own little side wager. I'm thinking he owes me some candy anyway, regardless of who wins this wager. What did we wager last year, Producer Jay?
I believe it was candy,
right? But I don't think it was candy for both of us. I feel like It was candy for you, and it was something else for me. Wasn't it?
I think it was.
Because I wouldn't have wanted a five-pound bag. I gave you a 5-pound bag of Sour Patch Watermelon.
Yes, you did.
That's what makes Jay happy. You want to know the secret to Jay's heart? It's Sour Patch Watermelon.
It helps.
Those are a little scarce these days. I haven't seen them as much in the stores. Instead, we tried until they were stolen. Sour Patch Grapes and Sour Patch Peaches is what I gave you for your trip to Europe.
Yeah, they're like experimenting with all these new different fruits now. They're really kind of straying away from the straw, from the watermelon. I see strawberries, mangoes, grapes.
Mangoes? Sounds delicious.
Yeah, the peaches. I don't know. They just keep popping up with these new ones. And they're not even sour, though. That's the weird thing, kind of.
They've dialed back on the sour. Yeah. So that was what I gave you, because Jay beat me last year in the After Hours. Well, in our personal bracket challenge. But I don't remember what it was that you had to give me. If it wasn't Sour Patch, though.
No. I think it might have been a big, huge bag of lime chips. Tostitos lime chips, maybe.
You think?
It's possible.
Why do I feel like it was cereal?
Cereal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think we ever eat cereal as a snack.
Sure we do. You brought an Apple Jacks once.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, multiple times.
I think you might be right.
I feel like it was cereal.
That was an Apple Jacks. Yeah.
Apple Jacks phase. My mom, when I was a kid, would only let us eat Apple Jacks if we also had Cheerios with them. And my brother would put like 4 Cheerios in the bowl and then half the Apple Jacks bag and then would finish the milk. And he knew I wasn't a morning person, so he would race down the stairs. The second the alarm went off, or the second my mom said, hey, you guys, time to get up, he would race down the stairs, finish the Apple Jacks, finish the milk, and he would be sure then that I would not get any. That was his thing, because he knew I never raced anywhere in the morning.
Yeah, well, he's ready for his day, so I guess that's, you know.
That explains everything. So what's the wager this year then? What are we wagering? Are you back to 5-pound bags of Sour Patches?
It was good luck. It was a pretty good prize, I will say. It was enjoyed.
It lasted for months. It lasted like 6 months.
Yeah, it lasted a long time. I got good use out of that. So that was a good one.
I don't want to wager that again because I end up eating too much candy, and I just don't think that's a good idea. I'm in training for another half marathon, and what did I say to you last year? Just give me 4 weeks with no candy. 4 weeks, no candy temptations. You did well until I ran the half marathon. So I end up eating too much of the candy. So I'm thinking no to candy this year.
I would say like a round of golf, but we already have one planned.
A golf ball collection you've started. What if I give you some golf balls for your golf ball collection?
Golf ball collection, that could work. Box of golf balls, what would you want?
Not golf balls. I have plenty of those.
You have plenty?
I want to play Frisbee. When was the last time we played catch? It has been months since we played catch.
It has been a while. After baseball season, it's coming back around, so I feel like we'll get the bug again.
Is your glove still in your car, in your trunk?
I think so.
Huh.
I haven't used it.
What about that nasty pillow of yours?
That is not there. That's on my bed. I was kidding. But
you're so gross. So gross. Why do I even ask you these gross, ugly questions?
It's not that gross.
It's so gross. I pulled it out of your trunk, and it was resting on your boots that probably have walked in dog poop, and there's the pillow sitting there.
There's no dog poop in my trunk. Just a pillow.
Your dog poop can easily get on your boots. Then your boots have dog poop residue, and then your pillow ends up with disgusting sediment on it.
There is no dog poop residue on my boots.
You don't know that.
I suppose you're right. I don't have a microscope or a magnifying glass.
Exactly. It's still gross. It still contaminates the pillow.
What if it's not on the boots, though? Then it's fine?
No, it's not, because the things in your trunk are dirty. Trunks get dirty.
That car's pretty new. Pretty clean.
How long until you get it fixed now?
don't change the subject here.
All right, so I don't know what Producer Jay and I are going to wager, but I do know that I always lose in these things because I try too hard. That's the thing. Don't try so hard. I always lose. If you just go through and fill out a bunch of names and you don't even know what you're looking at, like my nieces, well, then you're in a much better position than me. My mom knows zilch. She always just picks schools that she likes, and she always does better than me. I finish last every year in the family bracket challenge. So this year, I'm just going to go through and write a bunch of names down.
Colors, mascots, team names you like. That seems to work for some people.
For some people. Yeah, I can't. I can't in good conscience submit a bracket like that. But what are we wagering?
I don't know.
Oh, you always say I don't know. Make a decision. Come on.
Well, I mean, golf balls. You don't want golf balls. You don't want candy.
No.
So like two good things.
For you, yes. Those are two good things for you. I guess if we're assuming that you're going to win, sure.
How about a ball game?
How about a what?
A ball game.
A bowl game?
Ball, baseball.
A baseball game?
Yes.
Like we're going to play a baseball game?
No, like if I win, you buy the tickets. And if you win, I'll buy them.
Oh, I got you. Even though your all-star closer may not play all season? Oh, segue. Like did it. You like that segue?
It was good.
I was trying to soften the blow even a little bit. Okay, well, that's a great one for me because we do enjoy going to baseball games. Okay, so here's the dealio, yo. Oh, Dave says he's making cereal even as we talk about cereal. Of course, there's probably millions of people in the world right now who are eating cereal. It's a great snack / meal at any time of the day or night.
It's pretty versatile and universal. Yeah.
When I changed my eating habits, because that's just what I had to do to be healthy, I had to limit my consumption of cereal, and it was probably the hardest decision. I only eat cereal twice a week now, and it's so difficult for me. It's probably the biggest temptation. There are a lot of things that I can resist with my incredible willpower and self-control, but cereal I have a really hard time with. Oh, gosh, and I just love pancakes and pure maple syrup so much, too. All right, stop talking about cereal. It's not helping me.
It's always good, though. I was a big Reese's Puffs guy.
That's not cereal. That's
it's absolutely cereal.
It's not cereal. It's candy.
It's Reese's
It's just
Puff
candy.
Cereal.
It's just puffy candy.
It's Reese's Puff cereal.
It's
exactly.
It's Reese's. As in
Puffs
Reese's.
Cereal.
No, I'm telling you, it's candy. How much sugar in a box of Reese's Puff? Look it up.
I'd rather not.
Okay. I'll bet you it has as much sugar as the actual candy or as a can of soda. How often, I wish I could keep count of the number of times in the last year plus that Jay has called me right after he has awakened and he's already drinking a soda.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you to eat broccoli and you're resisting.
Going the other way.
Yeah. So not when we get to 4,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, though. When we get to that, Jay has to eat a gigantic, I mean humongous, I mean a vat of broccoli. He doesn't even know what a vat is. He has to eat a vat of broccoli. Okay. So just continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel After Hours with Amy Lawrence, because that's the only way that Jay's ever going to make a healthy decision when it's forced on him, when he loses a bet. Just wait. You'll get old someday, too. Just wait.
No vegetables in our March Madness bet.
Ooh.
No,
I like vegetables. No. No, but I like vegetables. I have two fresh avocado in my fridge right now. They're going to go with my eggs in the morning.
That's nice. I would eat that, see?
Avocado is actually a fruit.
Oh.
But okay.
I don't know. One and the same.
So
tomato.
If you no one says tomato. If you would like to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge, I guess Jay at some point will tell me if there's anyone in it. Maybe there's nobody in it. He's like, thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
There's a person in it.
We got one.
We've got one person. The winners get After Hours swag. I'm just telling you, you are not cool until you're wearing a t-shirt with my dog on the back.
All the cool kids are doing it.
See what I'm saying? So you can find the link to the After Hours Bracket Challenge at the top of our Twitter page, After Hours CBS, or the top of our Facebook page, also named after the show. If you wait till the last second, like your host, then of course something goes wrong. We're not going to have the opportunity to fix it. So I'd encourage you to do it tonight. The bracket challenge is just one big event we have in the month of March. Do you know what else comes up in March? Jay, would you like to take a stab at it? As in stab it. Stab it.
Opening day?
No. I mean a show event, you goofball. Why you just ruined that? I put the ball in a tee and it just went right over your head. You somehow like swung and missed at the ball in the tee. Just, I don't know what happened right there. Show event, Jay. What else happens in March?
What? Show event.
Oh, never mind. I can't wait for you.
Let me know.
The, what will be the fourth annual Chubby Bunny Championship?
Of course.
March Madness Marshmallows, or just March Marshmallows. Ooh, if you say that a few times really fast, there's going to be a problem. March Marshmallows. Marshmallows in March. See, Marshmallows. That's what's happening now. Marshmallows in March.
I like it.
So we know that we have Sean on board, Sean Marash from the DA show, which follows us here on CBS Sports Radio. We know that Billy's not allowed anymore. He's only filming.
No.
He neglected to tell us that he actually has a problem putting too much food in his mouth because he's a very active gag reflex. So he turned out to be a total disappointment. We think Matt the Musher will be joining us again from Alaska. And so we just need one more participant. Any ideas? Who can we rope in? Marco? Marco Belletti?
Marco could be good.
The thing is, he leaves usually before Sean gets in.
Mm.
So we're going to have to rope in someone else. Who would we like to be our guinea pig? A sacrificial lamb, if you will, in the Chubby Bunny Challenge.
We had Pete from the DA show run the board last year for us. Maybe he'd be interested in
competing. I thought he said
competing.
He couldn't do it.
I don't know. I could see him being a dark horse.
Okay. We'll have to figure it out. We have to recruit one more unsuspecting participant for the After Hours Chubby Bunny Championship.
Fuck it!
I lose every year because I can't stop laughing. And because I have to MC at the event at the same time that I am stuffing marshmallows into my cheeks. No, absolutely not. It's got to be audible, man.
No.
See what I mean? See what I mean? I also have to narrate, and so it becomes a major problem to try to talk while you have marshmallows in your mouth.
Oh, that's it. You're done.
So if you, this is a reason why you need to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you haven't yet, first of all, Jay needs to eat broccoli. I mean, that in and of itself should be enough. Second of all, the Chubby Bunny World Championship from 2022 is on our YouTube channel. Top line. Maybe second line now because we've added a few more videos. Second line, Chubby Bunny Championship. You can see the fallout, if you will. It's almost as though, yeah, there was plenty of fallout. It's almost as though people nearly died in the studio.
I can't.
What happened to Devil Fruit?
I don't know.
But it's still funny.
Can't wait.
Jay and Matt the Musher are actually defending co-champions. But Jay also had a moment where he projectile vomited a marshmallow and it went flying into the microphone. Smack. It was so good.
Yeah, that was a dangerous moment.
It was a dangerous moment. Anyway, that Chubby Bunny Championship is on YouTube. So while you're there, I'm enticing you. Go check it out and subscribe so Jay has to eat broccoli. Okay, coming up, latest from the NBA. Lakers, you're going the wrong way. And also, Ja Morant speaks out for the first time. We've got the conclusion of the first four in Dayton. I mean, look, we've gone a whole 20 minutes without talking about Aaron Rodgers. Boom, baby. It's after hours.
That's fine.
It's after hours. I mean, I was so close to getting out of the segment without another major mishap. And look what happens. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All right. Jackson 19-9 and a single block and a steal. Kick ahead to Jimmy. He broke out. He got hit. He got the bucket. He'll head to the line. And Tillman can't understand what happened. Here's what happened. Jimmy hit the brakes. You hit him, and he got a bucket. Jimmy snaps it right to Love. Fires a three. Ready. Splashes a three. 3 of 7 from downtown for Kevin. He's got 10. 38 third-quarter points for Miami. Jones just bobbled it. Then he lost it. And now Bam has it. Cramming it off the feed ahead from Struess. 12-0 run for the Miami Heat on the move. Oh! Caleb climbed to the top of his own mountain. Crushed it down and one. He'll go to the line. Great feed and patience because Max could have got a layup himself, but for what?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A few hours after we hear from Ja Morant for the first time, the Memphis Grizzlies see their winning streak. It was a modest winning streak, but they see their winning streak come to an end. Now, they had stabilized themselves. They'd played a little better, even without Ja. And so, right again, they are tied with the Sacramento Kings, who get a dramatic late victory. We'll get to that coming up. But it's Kings and Grizzlies who are tied for second place in the Western Conference standings behind the Nuggets, who we know have come back to the pack with the four consecutive losses. That's Jason Jackson on Heat Radio. As much as I focus on the West for a lot of reasons, the West is super tight from, say, fourth on down to 12th. But the Miami Heat are also scuffling. We can't really figure out who they are or what they are. You wouldn't think that'd be the case because they're a veteran team, mostly with a coach who's one of the longest tenured in the league. And they have an identity. They're real inconsistent when it comes to their turnovers. That's what seems to be their Achilles heel. Just ask the Golden State Warriors about that. So right now, Miami is sitting in the 7th spot, and they are 2 games behind the Nets, who are hanging tough in the 6th spot. So the Heat get a win on Wednesday, and the Grizzlies find out they will have to play another game without Ja Morant. Okay, so the suspension is 8 games, but it includes the games that he's already missed, which weren't ever called a suspension until Wednesday. Ja did a one-on-one with Jalen Rose on ESPN, and Jalen asked him how he's feeling.
Me personally, I feel mentally good that I haven't, you know, been in, you know, many years. You know, I'm in a space where I'm, you know, very comfortable. You know, I was constantly, you know, talking to therapists. I've been doing, you know, Reiki treatment. I've been doing anxiety breathing, you know, different stuff to, you know, help me manage that and, you know, release, you know, all that stuff from my body.
Jalen asked him if the gun that he was waving in the Instagram live video was his, and he said no. it's not mine. Or Jalen asked him, who did it belong to? And Ja said, it's not mine. And he takes responsibility for the poor choices and the bad decision. Doesn't necessarily mention alcohol, at least not in the cuts that I heard. I think the entire interview is yet to be released. But if you watch the Instagram live video, it's clear that he's in party mode, whatever that means. They did talk about the video. They did talk about that decision. And again, Ja said the gun was not his.
The gun wasn't mine. It's not who I am. I don't condone any type of violence. But I take, full responsibility, for my actions. Made a bad mistake.
We know that he is seeking help. He's in counseling. He's in a treatment facility where he can focus on his mental health. That's what the team has indicated, that he's away from them seeking help, just trying to get right and have a reset of sorts. And Ja opens up about when he realized that was necessary.
After I made a, terrible mistake, being inside a club and, went live, I put myself in, a bad position. And also, it's, my daughter. There's times where she even tell me if she's, had a bad day. And I felt like, if she can tell me that, then I can be able to go and talk to somebody as well.
That's very self-aware. I hope that that's part of what he has come to realize, that sometimes you do have to ask for help. Sometimes you do need people around you who will tell you the truth, even if it's not what you want to hear. And I love that he brings his daughter into it, because very often, when you're watching a pro athlete and he's screwing up like this and he's putting himself and his team in a bad situation, in this case, the league too, we can use all kinds of names and terms and we can go off on our hot take rants, but he's a dad as well. And it's more important for Ja to get the help because he's a parent and because he's still young, and it's better for him to learn now than to continue down this path where he's putting himself at risk and he's embarrassing his family and all of these types of things, not to mention taking away from his basketball opportunities. I think that hearing him talk about his daughter, for me, I didn't realize he had a daughter, was a moment where I thought, okay, he's going to turn a corner here, or at least he's cognizant of his responsibility beyond himself to his family, to his team, to the league that he represents. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Once again, Ja Morant with Jalen Rose.
I can see the image, that I painted, over myself, with my recent mistakes, but, in the future, I'm going to show everybody who Ja really is, what I'm about, and, change this narrative.
Good. I hope that he does. I really hope that he does, because he's not a lost cause. He's not too far gone. He's a young guy who's having to grow up in a very white hot spotlight as a instant superstar in the NBA with a lot of money and maybe needing to blow off steam. And it's not like this club isn't frequented by professional athletes in every league. It's apparently very popular. And this is an opportunity now with minimal impact. Okay. So he's not getting charged with anything. He's not getting in trouble with the authorities beyond the fact that he was investigated. The league is letting him off relatively lightly. Right? So an 8-game suspension, but they can't do more because they can't prove the gun was his either, or that he had it on the property, like Denver Nuggets property, or on the team plane or anything like that. So he's getting off relatively lightly, and he's getting the help that he needs. This is it. This is when he has to take responsibility, take ownership, and he's saying all the right things.
I can't wait to be back out there on the floor now, knowing what my punishment is, and I accept that, and I feel like I deserve, that punishment for, my mistakes and, what I did. But when I get back out there, I'm going to be ready to go and ready, push for a ring.
All right. what the Grizzlies want to hear. We are a society and a culture of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. This is Ja's chance. And I hope he figures it out. I am rooting for him. He's great for the league. Clearly a young man who's having a bit of a personal crisis. Nothing that we don't all go through. Maybe not quite like that. I actually, Marco Belletti's here in studio. I had heard about the notorious photo that was published of him in this nightclub. And because I had heard the description of said photo and the fact that it was putting, well, he put himself in a really negative light and the photo was a little bit raunchy. I didn't look at it for the longest time. And then I thought, do I need to look at it so that I know what we're talking about here? I did. I wish I hadn't. I can imagine he's embarrassed once he sobered up and kind of looked at it from a, you know, a big picture perspective. I hope he's embarrassed enough to the point where he's not going to do that again.
Yeah, I don't know if the photo necessarily put him over the top on that one. But, yeah, look, he said all the right things. Let's hope he understood and he gets it. That's the most important thing. You mentioned that club when you say a lot of people frequent it and makes a lot of money. I don't know about that anymore. Can't have pictures like that going out.
Well, true.
That's a bad look for that club.
But over the course of the last couple weeks, what we found out is that the Denver Broncos frequent the club. Jalen said, I've been to that club. It's a very popular stop for professional athletes.
And that's fine. That's not the part that he needs to worry about, and that's not the part that he needed counseling for. Like, you know, that's not my scene. That's the scene you want. Go ahead. That's where you can do that. All that stuff. It's all the extra, you know, you can't have the gun. You can't go live on Instagram. Like there's things that it's just kind of like, you know, you shouldn't need someone to explain it to you, but obviously he did. Let's just hope it sinks in and he gets it now at this point.
What's your schedule for the next 20 minutes after you do your update? I know you have other responsibilities.
I have to record a couple, but not a lot. Why?
Well, you just come in before the top of the hour. Give us 2 minutes. We need to explain to you the mystery of the disappearing candy.
Okay.
The shrinking candy.
I could do this.
It just disappeared. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
He yanks a line drive to left, and he's come through again. Smith in to score. Betts given the wave. Throws cut off. Trout delivers. USA lead.
Jason Adams, 3-2 pitch. Frias swings and misses, and Adams strikes out the side. Toss down from Smith, and Team USA's moving on. Mike Trout, the captain, knocks in all three. USA 3, Colombia 2. The Americans go 3-1 in the group stage.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to the red, white, and blue Team USA advancing to the quarterfinals of the World Baseball Classic. 3-2 victory over Colombia on Wednesday. And so in Pool C, in case you're keeping score at home, the USA and Mexico are tied. Now, remember, the Mexicans, they pummeled the United States. So maybe we'll get a rematch of some sort. But U.S. next takes on Venezuela in Miami, and that's Saturday. Miami has been a great host. We've also seen some of the international sites that are electric in terms of the fan support and the buzz. I've really been impressed with the crowds. And so I know that we haven't talked about it a ton. It is an exhibition. It certainly means something to the fans and to the players themselves, but for at least one Major League Baseball franchise, it's coming with a major price tag. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call there on FS1, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. I mean, it's a team full of superstars for the United States. Mookie and Mike both coming through in this big win, 5-for-8 combined. And Trout drove in all three runs. If this is indicative of how he gets off to the start in the 23 season, I'm all for it. I need Mike Trout back in the playoffs. I know that's October, though. So here's what happened at the end of the Puerto Rico-Dominican Republic game. Edwin Diaz on the mound. Not a closer situation, was it? Wait, it was 5-2, I think, when he came in. So I guess technically would have been a save situation. But anyway, regardless, he comes into the game Puerto Rico gets the win, gets the final out. They're celebrating, and as they're celebrating, it becomes evident that something is horribly wrong. The Mets' all-star closer has crumpled into a heap at the bottom of this group of Puerto Rican players who are celebrating. I have watched a bunch of different angles of the video. It's out there in case you're looking for it. Lots of different Twitter accounts have given clips of it on FS1, or from FS1, I should say. It's really difficult to see what happened because Diaz was in the middle of a group of his Puerto Rican teammates. But they're on the field, they're celebrating, and then all of a sudden, something is wrong. You can tell. You've got players who are tightening their circle around Diaz, who we quickly find out is on the ground, and a few of his teammates are motioning for the athletic training staff to come out here. You see it a lot in football, right, where a guy goes down and the, whether it's teammates or opponents who are around him, realizes that they realize it's bad and they start motioning for the training staff. And so that's what happens with Edwin Diaz, but I really couldn't see it. Now, he had a big strikeout to seal the win, and he was huge for Puerto Rico because of the Dominican Republic being a favorite and all that jazz. His brother is there. Alexi Diaz is there hugging him. And then, as I say, it turns from celebration to concern. And Kike Hernandez, who's part of that team, gives his perspective.
I didn't really know what was going on because I was playing center and I celebrated with MJ and Eddie out in the outfield. And then when we started coming in, we were like looking around at everybody, and it wasn't pretty much till we got to the infield dirt that we realized that something had gone wrong. At the moment, we didn't know who it was. And when we got there, that's when we realized who it was.
Marco Belletti's here in studio. Marco tells me, I didn't see this, but the Mets apparently confirmed that it is a knee injury.
Yeah, the Mets tweeted out. Mets tweeted out that it was a knee injury. More testing to come today.
Right. So an MRI will take place on Thursday. They'll figure out how serious it is, but he could not put weight on it. No. He tried. They even tried to carry him off the field, and it was uncomfortable. So they put him down, and he ends up hobbling on one leg. And then they bring a wheelchair out right to the field to get him, which I have never seen before.
Yeah, they used that to the final thing. The thing that, I mean, obviously all of this didn't look good, and you hope for the best for all of this. The thing that struck me was when they started to grab him, two guys basically like pick him up underneath the knee on each side and try to carry him. And as soon as they did, Diaz, I mean, winced and immediately let go of me.
Uh-huh.
And he was more comfortable keeping his legs straight and hobbling without any weight on it at all, and just kind of hobbling to the dugout from there.
Right.
And then they brought the wheelchair and they got him to the clubhouse. So none of this looks good for Diaz. You hope for the best, but none of it obviously looked good.
It's certainly a risk, and it would be a risk anyway. You're playing a spring training game. There's always the potential that something could go wrong and that you could tear an ACL or you could do some damage to your knee of some sort. It's just the fact that it's coming in the World Baseball Classic, I think, is the biggest fear for teams who do not have their players stretched out. They're maybe not in midseason mode. Again, you can step wrong and you can snap a ligament. So it could have happened at any other point, but this is the big fear for teams who send their superstars to be part of what is an exhibition. It's an exhibition.
No doubt. I mean, it's spring training with a flag wrapped around it. That's basically what this whole thing is. And, you know, there's a lot of players that have said it that don't want to go. It's because you're talking about spring training games where I'm ramping up for a regular season, and then you're trying to then play a quasi postseason game in the middle of ramping up for a regular.
It's
like it's almost like you're going to run a sprint while you're still stretching. Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I realize it's not quite the postseason atmosphere, but there is an atmosphere there. And guys, if they're playing for their country of origin, feel that pressure, and they want to win. And
especially Hispanic countries. It's a big deal for Puerto Rico.
You're an athlete. Like, when you tell me that there's a championship to be won, when you're on the field, like, that competitive juice takes over. So you want to win, and you probably do more than you should. Now, the one thing we'll say is, in this thing, this wasn't on a pitch. This wasn't in a game. This was in a celebration.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, you could blame it on the World Baseball Classic all you want, which I am not a fan of.
No, I'm not. And this should be in November. I'm just saying it's a risk for teams.
I'm not saying you, but I mean, a lot of Met fans right now are screaming bloody murder for the World Baseball Classic, and understandable, they lost possibly their closer. But again, they were jumping on the mound in celebration, and then all of a sudden, he's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Non-contact.
Right. That's one of those where it's like, you know, that could have happened walking to the park.
Also, just from my time spent in countries like Cuba and Ecuador and other places in South America and Central America and the Caribbean, they love their baseball and it matters to them to wear their nation's colors. So it's probably unlikely that these guys would have missed it even, you know, with the risk of injury, they want to be part of it. So it's huge for them too. It's hard for their franchises to say to them, no, you can't participate. I mean, they weren't going to keep him
from
participating.
There's going to be a lot more teams that are going to say
yes,
that.
Yes, agreed.
That's the thing. Teams are going to start putting their foot down. I'm sorry. No, you want to go. You can't.
Yeah.
Too much money wrapped up into these players. Can't happen.
Yes, a lot of money.
Can't happen.
So Marco's here in studio. We're obviously a little bit tight as we get up to the top of the hour, but I want you to know, just beware of anyone who comes to you in the newsroom and says, hey, if you have some candy, we have a candy locker where we're stashing candy. It's a community type of thing because Jay fell into this trap. He gave away our candy stash. Pete, I won't name any names really, Pete put it in the candy locker and promised that there was a stash in the locker and then locked it up with a padlock. He gave Jay the incorrect combo. Jay couldn't get the candy out of the locker. Finally puts Pete to, like puts Pete to the test and says, what's the combo? Jay gets in, no other candy, and ours is gone. I mean, that's what happened. Just wanting to know, don't trust Pete or anyone who professes to have a candy locker. Don't allow him to take your candy because it's a sham. It's one of those kind of emails you get where they're asking for money for your long-lost relative who's stuck in another country like Siberia. Nope. Just beware.
So no princes and no candy.
No candy locker because it's not real. It's just a way to pilfer the candy. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.